Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Monday, and a beautiful one at that. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon. Ken Miller, for the next couple of hours, thanks for tuning in here this morning. We talk sports with you and give you an opportunity at least a couple of times to win $1,000, our keyword. Coming up here in about 25 minutes, 30 minutes or so, twice, once in the 10 o'clock, once in the 11 o'clock hour, keywords, a chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that. We'll get them to you. On the BMW of Des Moines guest list, Nick Olson. Going to start with Iowa State. TJ Otzelberger continues to replenish his roster. Get the latest from Nick Olson on the comings and goings with Iowa State, as they hit the road for their tour for the first time since 2019. The coach's caravan will be crisscrossing the state. Usually there's some news that comes out of that. The media usually follows it around, so we'll see if that is indeed the case in 2022. Nick Olson, first guest of the week. At 11:05, Matt Snyder from CBS Sports. We talk baseball on a weekly basis with Matt. Lots of ground to cover, guessing the Reds. I mean, what a story yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Throw a no-hitter and lose.
That is the embodiment of the 2022 Cincinnati Reds.
Trent, it's just incredible. But more than the Cincinnati Reds, I'm guessing, Albert Pujols pitched last night.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. He pitched last night, gave up a couple of long balls, but they were having fun out there. So Matt Snyder, rather, 11:05, and then Scott Dochterman. And today, Iowa is in the focus at the Athletic, the state of the program series that the Athletic does, or has done for the last couple of build-ups to the season. Iowa today, they're really good. Along with the Phil Steele magazine that will come out late June, middle of June, in June, and the state of the programs that the Athletic publishes. I think it's such great prep for college football. Phil Steele's one thing. They got a little more statistics and everything. But it's what the Athletic does is well worth the cost of a monthly subscription.
And some people need to get out of magnifying glass to read Phil Steele.
Okay.
One of my favorite things is looking over, Ken crunched over, and he's got the magnifying glasses. He's looking at something up in Phil Steele.
Well, the print is pretty small.
It
hey,
is.
Dude, you'll be there one day.
I know. We went down to Kansas City this weekend, and my dad lives in Oklahoma, kind of met in the middle. And I forgot my glasses, so I took my contacts.
Good idea.
Well, I took my contacts out at night, and then something was going on, and yeah, it's getting bad.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I need to get back over to Elite Eye Care and I think get an update on that prescription because...
Or just remember your glasses.
Well, that helps too. That helps too, because I certainly was not going to wear my contacts all day long, and a little pool time with the kids. So
nice.
Yeah, we were able to... Well, we hit it three times. That's what the kids like to do
Why
in the
not?
Hotel room.
This is about to be a public service announcement. Speaking of old, and I am, and I know a lot of our listeners are, I got something this weekend in the mail for my feet. Oofs, have you seen the commercial?
No.
Of course you haven't. O-O-F-S.
Okay.
They are the most comfortable things I've ever put on my feet. It's like literally walking on a cloud. You get old, right? And everything hurts when you get old.
Sure.
But I've been wearing Crocs, and up until, Crocs around, not the real spongy ones, but I was watching these commercials for Oofs, and I thought, you know what, just go ahead. So I had my wife do it, and oh my God, just game changing. So if you've been watching the commercials and your feet are bugging you, two enthusiastic thumbs up from this chair.
Mr. Oofs over there.
Mr. Oofs, and well worth the money. They're expensive, but I don't know, $70 or whatever,
sure.
but well worth the money. All right, let's get into sports, Trent Condon.
I'm ready for that.
Well, I thought we were going to be thoroughly entertained yesterday in basketball.
Whoops.
Yeah, we were, at least I was thoroughly entertained Saturday in hockey with three game sevens. Two more game sevens last night. Oh, by the way, in the NHL, both of which went to overtime. Mm-hmm. This NHL first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs, we sung the praises of the NBA because it was good.
It was.
And it was deserved that we sung the praises of the NBA. This round, not so much. This NHL first round, I mean, five of the series went to Game 7, and two of which yesterday decided in overtime. Top that.
Hockey is such an interesting sport, just being a casual observer of it. And I think of a series like the Rangers and Penguins. It was 3-1 Pittsburgh, and it felt like it should be 5-0. I mean, it just they were that much better.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is, three straight, and the Rangers, they shouldn't have won Game 5. It was it Game 5, the Wednesday game?
Yeah, they were down 3-1. They were down a couple of goals, and Sidney Crosby got hurt.
And all of a sudden, an injury, and it happens both in the NBA and the NHL, but an injury happens and just how significant that is. And I try to act smart, and I talk about third lines and things like that in hockey, but but the stars and just how important they are. And I saw that certainly the last two seasons with a guy like Kaprizov.
Who is a legitimate top 10 player in the league. Maybe
and
top
a star...
Five.
A star, they never had. You know, Zach Parise was a nice player.
No, Trent, this is a generational talent, and the Wild. I'm trying to think back. Would the North Stars have had a generation? They had some really
Mike Donovan.
Not on this level.
No,
Kaprizov's elite.
He is the best Minnesota professional hockey player.
Bobby Smith, back going way back into the 80s. Nobody knows who he is. It should stop.
Right, but pretty fair to say, and you can see that, and I can see that. Even as a casual observer.
Dino Ciccarelli, remember that name?
Yes, I do. Didn't he play for the Red Wings later on?
He did.
Yeah. All right. See, I got a little
flaunting
something there.
Your hockey knowledge.
So a player like that, and Sidney Crosby, he's not at his peak at this point in his career. But
no, but you know what, Trent? And I didn't think he could get close to it again, and he did.
But you lose a player like that, and just how significant it can be.
Their leader is wounded.
So it's pretty easy, right? We know what the new network now with ESPN back aboard and TNT, the final that they won is Colorado, New York, right?
Oh, for sure.
I mean, there's nothing even close. We know
Tampa for the third year, that would...
But it's still Tampa, right? Uh-huh. Are there any casual Tampa Bay Lightning fans out there?
Well, there's certainly no Carolina Hurricane fans.
Right, and that's another one. Mm-hmm. We know about, of course, the two Canadian teams still alive, the Oilers and the Flames.
The Battle of Alberta.
We don't get, though, the TV ratings. They don't count.
No, Los Angeles. They don't count, no.
So the,
and the Kings are out.
Don't want that. It's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. There is really one finals that they're hoping for, and everything else, not a disaster, but not as good as Colorado, New York would be.
Yep, I agree with you.
We're going to get Colorado?
Yeah, I just don't see anybody knocking them off. I really don't.
With Binghamton playing as well as he is in goal, the Blues are a huge price here.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking? It was minus 400 plus 370, something like that
big.
Last week.
It was big.
When it came out at Circa.
Mm-hmm.
At a price like that, I mean, is it worth a flyer even, or you just think Colorado is that much better?
Well, we saw this past series, a goalie, how far, I mean, the Dallas Stars goalie almost carried them to the next round single-handedly.
Right.
I mean, he stopped 52 shots in regulation last night. Just incredible. Not just last night, but the entire series. And St. Louis got some dudes, but Colorado's just so low. That roster.
If you had to make a bet, either St. Louis to win the series or a sweep for Colorado, which way would you bet?
Colorado.
Colorado sweep. Yep. Wow. They're good, huh?
They're really good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
I'm good. I listened to you in Minnesota.
Didn't go well.
Rip that ticket up.
Yeah,
but still
you know
got
what?
Some Colorado.
I still like, because I went down in flames too. I still like the move.
Yeah. You got to, right?
You absolutely do. If you play futures, and I do, you got to give yourself some coverage, and I've got it, especially in the NHL. Trent, before we get into the basketball, because there's really nothing much to say. It was just awful,
it
right?
It was.
It was just terrible. Well, we're here now, so let's go here, especially the late game, because that was the stinker of the two. I mean, on your home floor in a game seven, you're down 46 points at one point in the second half. You go to the locker room down 30 after 24 minutes. Your two stars, Chris Paul and Devin Booker, were 0-for-11. Your team scored 27 points. The star on the other team had 27 points by himself. Doncic 27, Phoenix 27 after 24 minutes. And it got worse. Talk about a no-show. Ayton's benched in the second half for not playing defense. Oy, 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 oy.
And Ayton, they didn't pay him before the year.
No, and now
it's ugly.
It's going to get
uglier. Rearing, yes.
Yep.
And you have not only that, but the owner, Sarich. There's the impending investigation that, no, I heard a theory. Maybe
this is new. What's he called?
Oh, I mean, not as bad as Donald Sterling, but the same kind of investigation.
Oh, me too?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot going on there. So did maybe the team get, because it's supposed to be wrapped up. Maybe they got a few things that came out. And because you're looking for, you don't see this in a game seven. You don't see this at home. You don't see this for a one seed. You don't see this for a team.
This was as bad a game seven as I can think of in any sport. What was worse?
Nothing jumps to mind. There's been bad performances, but nothing like this. And nothing but from a number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And not in a final, in a Western Conference. And a team that is as good as you.
Mm-hmm. Royals doing the Cardinals the way they did them in 85 with Brett Saberhagen?
Right. Yeah, that's a good one. But a five seed coming in and doing that to you, you just don't see it. The Suns were top five offensively and defensively, and they got punked.
Trent, they didn't lose two games in a row at all, or maybe once, this entire year.
And then they lose like this.
Just brutal.
There's no way to look at it. Chris Paul, apparently there is a quad issue, is what was said after the game.
Mm.
He didn't look right.
No, I'll give you that.
But his playoff performances, and you look through his career.
It's not good.
And the amount of collapses that he has had as the leader.
He's been at the scene of a lot of collapses.
And not just up late in series, but early in season, up 2-0, lose the series. I think he's had three or four of those where he's been up 2-0 in series of loss.
Mm.
What does that do to his legacy? Because, you know, point God. You know, that's the nickname that he's given because when he's right, he is so fun even at this advanced part of his career. But these things continue to stack up.
The latest is always the greatest, right? What happens the latest, we think about first a lot of times. And this is how one of the first things, I mean, maybe other than his commercials, you're going to think about this. It was bad. It was just terrible. It was ugly. Terrible.
Game one. Got back in perfect time, right at the end of the first quarter, because I was able to fire as I was back in the state of Iowa.
Oh, that's right. You couldn't bet. Were you shaking?
No, I was good.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I thought, all right, can I get a proxy? What can I do? Should I make a phone? And no, there wasn't anything that was jumping off the page. But right when we got home, end of the first quarter, open up the app.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, you can unload the car, wife. You get to do that. I got something to do here. And it was Celtics plus 115.
So at the end of the first quarter, because the Bucks at one point, I think they were up 10 early in the first quarter.
It was 7 after 1.
And it was 7 after 1.
So I was getting plus money. I said, absolutely, I'm jumping aboard with this. Now, unfortunately, I also took that money and bet it when Phoenix was down in the second quarter before it got really ugly. I think it was 12 at the time.
Well, yeah, it could have been.
So I gave it right back.
The first 12 minutes.
Yeah. Gave it right back after that, but it wasn't a surprise. You know, Boston playing in that fashion. The thing that was just so odd, they took 55 three-pointers.
Yeah.
Now think back when you started your career in sports talk radio.
Never.
55.
Never.
That's a week.
Never. Exactly.
In the mid-90s, that was a week of three-pointers.
Yeah.
55 in a game. And they hit them.
That's true. Well, yeah. I mean, that was the difference in the basketball game.
That's the part of NBA basketball that you don't have to really dig deep. And we love talking baseball and going inside the nuance of the game and talking about individual games. And we really enjoy that. Basketball, there's so many of them where, they hit threes. They won. They hit 22 three-pointers. Of course, they won. And if they would have hit 13 three-pointers, it would have been a different game. It's a very simplified look at what basketball, especially NBA basketball, has become. Did you hit your threes? Good.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't, you sucked.
Grant Williams hit 7 of them.
Right.
Grant Williams. Unbelievable performance. Tatum was average yesterday.
Yeah,
I certainly wasn't the in Game Six. He was terrific, but he was average yesterday. It was you could tell after three quarters. I mean, did you think that they had got it? Because let's not forget back last time the series was in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Milwaukee did come back in the fourth quarter. I never felt like, oh, all right, here we go again.
I was just hopeful more than anything that we were going to get something in.
A little drama.
You're right.
Yeah.
But I never had
sitting on the bench at the end waiting for the, watching the clock run out. Yeah.
Disappointing end here.
It
so
was.
We get two finals, conference finals here that are. How excited are you for these conference finals? I'm not revved up. Not as much as I anticipate.
Miami, Boston. I mean, Boston's always in the final. You've got to give them credit. It's a wonderful franchise, incredible franchise.
Yep.
They certainly look like the team to beat to me. but I've been wrong this entire series. Golden State, you know what? I guess if I had to get excited about watching Luka Doncic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who watches the Dallas Mavericks during the regular season, right? I know that a lot of people, I mean, NBA fans do.
Right.
But fringe fans, I mean, you don't see this kid a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the game's best players. So maybe it'll be, well, he's already had his coming out party, but maybe more people will pay attention to the greatness that he brings to the floor each and every night. The photos of him and Dirk Nowitzki after the game, I mean, right. There is a genuine respect amongst the former superstar of that franchise and the now superstar of that franchise. But as far as excitement for both of them, maybe the Western Conference more so.
Yeah. Golden State's still fun.
They're fun to watch. Yeah. Yes, they are. Right. And Doncic makes you want to tune mm-hmm. in. Now, Miami?
Jimmy Butler is not an he's not a likable figure.
No.
Bam Adebayo? Does that do a whole lot for you?
No. I mean, I think Boston is, I mean, they're the favorites in this series.
Mm-hmm.
In the Eastern Conference Final. I think we're tethered to Boston and somebody. Probably Golden State.
Tyler Hero?
You know what? He's pretty good in the playoffs.
All right.
He's pretty good in the playoffs. Yeah, he makes some shots. We'll see. We shall see. The baseball from the weekend, I didn't see a ton of it. Now, I'm looking forward to tonight and just being able to sit back
mm-hmm.
and take kind of a night off and watch a baseball game.
Because there's no hockey, there's no NBA. Hockey,
there's no NBA, there's very little. Just watch that. A little bit. Cubs are playing well.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees are the best team in baseball.
Yes, they are.
Cardinals,
Astros are right behind them.
It's incredible,
the
streak that they are on. All right, so you tweeted this morning, you've got more point spreads that, that you found. You found these at where, FanDuel?
Yep, FanDuel. They're the ones that came out with the first, multiple lines that I saw. I think Bet Rivers had like a bunch of week one ones, but that was it. This is the one that digs throughout the season. Games of the Year is how mm-hmm. they used to be dubbed.
And Bet Rivers, although Bet Rivers has the win totals for all the Power Fives,
they
correct?
Do. Yep, they have win totals up right now. FanDuel, though, has point spreads all throughout the season now. It was last week, I think, up till October 22nd is when it ended, and now they've gone all the way through the end of the season.
Are you an elite customer, elite sportsbook?
I am not.
Okay, because they were first.
Yeah.
They were first in the state to post Iowa and Iowa State lines. I'll never understand. I get we're Iowa, mm-hmm. and we don't move the needle like the other states, to be fair. But this is what we have.
Right.
This is what we look forward to as a state. Fall football, Iowa and Iowa State. Post as many damn lines as you can. Get people talking about your book, about your app, because we will.
Because 2 years ago, Elite, 2 or 3 years ago, they had every point spread.
They were first, and we gave them their due
mm-hmm.
for doing so.
And last year, they didn't do it at the same level. I know. Me and my buddies clubbed them. I mean, just mm-hmm. absolutely murdered them.
Right.
Some of the point spreads that they had. The other thing is they weren't adjusting because they had them out all throughout the season. And it'd be a week before the game and it'd still be sitting there, whatever, Iowa minus 13.5. Like, well, that's wrong. You grab the points.
Do they partner with anybody?
I'm not sure.
I mean, who's their back end, I wonder?
Yeah, I don't know kind of their financial backing or where it comes from. But that was, it was music to our ears because that was a really profitable fall. But
right. I think they're expanding into Nebraska.
Oh, are they?
I believe I saw somebody's partnering with Elite.
Interesting.
I think so.
I'll see, because that was fun, though, just to have every game, too. And it mm-hmm. wasn't just Iowa, Ohio State, and Iowa, Michigan, and Iowa State, Oklahoma. Yeah, we got that one, too. We'll get to that in a moment. But they had Iowa against Northwestern and South Dakota State in the non-conference. They had every single game up there, which was a lot of fun to kind of look at. But this year, we have five games now for the Hawkeyes that are point spread available. This is, again, at FanDuel. Line remains the same from what we talked about last week.
Still
Iowa,
six.
Favored by six. And same juice. Iowa minus 105. Iowa State, if you grab the six, minus 115.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to pay a little extra to get the Cyclones plus six.
I don't get it.
Point spreads haven't moved in the other two games. Iowa still a four-point underdog at Kinnick mm-hmm. against Michigan, and it's still 21 what the Hawkeyes are getting out in Columbus against the Buckeyes. But the two new ones out there that were released sometime since I last looked. Iowa, Wisconsin. This one's in Kinnick Stadium, November 12th. The Hawkeyes. Did you look?
I did. I would have been dead wrong. I thought it would be higher than that. Again, Kinnick is a five-point stadium. When we say what do we mean when we say it's a five-point stadium? Well, that means if the game was played on a neutral field, which it's not, you add or subtract, whichever way it is, the 5 points. So at Kinnick Stadium, the line makers start. Iowa is with a figure or with a number of five. That's their point spread, right? So if these two teams are dead even on a neutral field, move the game to Kinnick, Iowa would be favored by 5 points.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin is a 2-point favorite over Iowa. Neutral field, Hawks are a field goal better.
Can't buy that.
I can't either.
Can't buy it.
I can't either.
They won the division last year, but they also lost to Wisconsin last year.
Right.
I'm with you.
And I'm even it's even a bigger head scratcher the next number you're going to put out there, because this is telling me that Nebraska is more than a touchdown better than Iowa.
Iowa favored by 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
So you put that in a neutral field, what it'd be?
Eight
Nebraska.
And a half.
8.5.
8.5.
Getting 3.5. Take for, yeah.
Get 8. You get more than a touchdown.
Yeah, that's not right.
That's not right.
No. No, it'd be Iowa, Nebraska by 1.5. If it was on a neutral.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yes.
Iowa.
Right.
Okay.
But still.
Yes. But is Nebraska better than Iowa on a neutral field?
No.
You play that thing in Harlan? I mean, come on. You're not making Nebraska the favorite.
I don't understand it.
But that's where they are. They are bettable. You can fire at them right now, and well, your money's going to be sitting for quite a while.
Well, I guess that's the one downside of that in the future, right?
Mentioned there is one other Iowa State game along with the Cy-Hawk game that is out there. It is Oklahoma. The game, that's a Thursday game, is that right?
Don't know.
It is currently Oklahoma favored by, take a guess. In Ames.
Mm-hmm. 13.5.
How about 4?
Oklahoma's favored by 4?
4 points. You're laying 4 with the Sooners.
But 4?
4. Not 14. Four.
I don't get the love for the Iowa State team this year. I truly don't.
Unless there's something we don't know.
Well, maybe it's Deckers.
Okay.
Maybe it's Hunter Deckers.
We saw some Hunter Deckers.
Yeah.
Did you walk away? Oh, this guy's going to be all Big 12.
Did anybody walk away? What are they starting Purdy for?
Right.
Right? They're starting the wrong quarterback. I don't understand it. The best team in school history was 7-6. 7-6.
7.5 is the over-under. That means they have to win 8 games, something they couldn't do a year ago, in the regular season.
The best running back. I love David Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Breece Hall's better,
yes.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
He's gone. The tight end, the record-setting tight end, is gone. The quarterback is gone. The linebackers, a couple of them, gone. Secondary, totally different. Your kicker, who was really good. You finally had a kicker. Do you this year? You don't know. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Iowa State is as good as everybody says they are. It's better for business when they are. I don't see it. I just don't know what I'm missing. And evidently I am, because I thought Iowa would be a bigger favorite. The game's in Kinnick, and Oklahoma, a 4-point favorite. Ooh. A couple of calls real quick, and then we will get to our break. More Iowa State conversation coming up with Nick Olson. Matt is first of all. Matt, welcome to the program. What is on your mind?
Yeah, I had a question about sports betting. I'm fairly new, started back in like October. I had a free bet.
Yeah.
But on the Golden State Warriors, it's going to pay $275.
Mm-hmm.
$275. Will they start offering me like a cash out?
I would anticipate. Who do you bet with?
With
DraftKings? Yeah, I would anticipate they would.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going
to
do?
They'd have to make the final first.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I might hedge it. I'm probably hedge it, I suppose.
Yeah.
If they face Boston, you know, I would.
If they
I mean, this is just me. You do what. You're in a good spot. You're in a great spot. Get to the final, and then if it's Boston, I might hedge a little or a lot.
Yeah.
If it's Miami, I might hedge. I don't think Miami's going to beat them.
And with free bets, I'm looking right now. I have a Colorado Avalanche free bet that I fired at, and I am not being offered a cash out on that. So I wonder if free bets, if they don't offer.
Well, you're only one round into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
True, but my Boston Celtics one that I just bet last week when they're down 3-2, there is a cash out option on that one.
Yeah.
And there isn't on the free bet. So with the free bet, I'm not sure if they're going to. There might be a hedging opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, even if you don't get the opportunity for the cash out, I mean, dig in and just fund your account or spend some of the money. Are you enjoying it, Matt?
Yeah, well, yeah, I am. No, I really like it. Yeah,
yeah.
I took Trent's advice, put a free bet on the Islander way back when too.
And, yeah. Well, that one didn't work out as well.
They're not,
but I was on the Islanders too.
It's fun, yeah.
Matt, thanks for listening. Appreciate the call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Taylor is next. Hey, Taylor, what's on your mind?
Well, the Oklahoma point spread is, he said everybody left for Iowa State because they graduated. So did Oklahoma, but they lost their coach on top of it.
Well, that's true, but they're bringing a pretty good one. I'm with you. We don't know if Venables can make it as a head coach. I totally agree. I mean, Matt Campbell, he has proven what he can do there. It's still okay. Fair point.
Yeah, Dylan Gabriel, are you excited about him? He's okay.
Yeah. Fair point.
Yeah, it's, we don't know what Oklahoma's going to look like. And Venables, dude was assistant for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason he never got a head coaching job.
Or was he waiting for the right one? Because his name would come up almost every single year. Yeah, fair point, Taylor. Thanks for that. Anything else?
Nope, that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Fair point on Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. And
they lost a lot of dudes to the draft, but they lose a lot of dudes to the draft every year.
But they also lost a lot of guys to the transfer portal, too. So that depth that normally just kind of recoups.
Venables brought some with him.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they played the transfer game as well as he could. It's a good point, I thought, though, by Taylor.
No,
we talked about Iowa State because that's what we know, but Oklahoma lost a ton.
Mm-hmm.
They're their betting favorite. Still four.
Not a ton, is it? Well, we shall see.
I got a couple of bucks in that account. I think I know what I'm firing at right
now.
Yeah,
I won't bet the locals. Anyways, we
leaving
will come
money
back
on the table.
Maybe sometimes. I wish I would have left money on the table with that Drake Iowa State Fred Hoiberg.
That still gets you. How long ago was that now?
Hoiberg's first game, our first year.
We're almost going 15 years
now. He's coached the Bulls since. He's coached Nebraska since. He's sat out since. Oh, my God. That one left a mark. Anyways, we will take our time out before we do that. Let's see if we can put some cash in somebody's pocket. It's time for another $1,000 home run. You can enter this nationwide keyword at KXNO.com. The keyword for this hour is grand, grand at KXNO.com. That's your chance to win $1,000, KXNO.com. You'll see the pop-up box. Enter grand, and if your phone rings and it's a block number, what do you call those numbers? Unidentified number.
Yep.
Just answer it. Could be someone from iHeart telling you that you are the $1,000 winner. Miller and Condon back with Nick Olson. He covers Iowa State. He's next on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Things come together.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
All right, 10:35. Welcome back. Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Take you until noon. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com on MLB. Scott Dochterman from The Athletic on Iowa. Coming up about 11:30, their state of the program was just published this morning at The Athletic. Right now, Nick Olson, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. He joins us. Iowa State there continue to remake the basketball roster. A 6'10" kid. Another St. Bonnie kid going to be a Cyclone. Nick joins us. Nick, Trent, Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you?
Great to be back, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Practicing saying the Big O's name, Oshoniye. How am I doing?
Oshun Oshoniye.
Oshun Oshun. The Big O.
Oshoniye.
Oshoniye. Oshoniye.
Yes, sir.
Regardless if I can't say his name, I can read his stats, and I like what I'm seeing. Especially, here's the thing with TJ Otzelberg, and we saw it last year, Nick, and I, for one, love to watch effort on the defensive end of the floor, and we certainly saw that all the time last year. And seemingly, TJ's building another team that, you know, from the defensive end out, right? That's the way he's building. If you're going to play at Iowa State under TJ Otzelberger, you have to be committed to defense. And it's seemingly this class, these guys that are joining in time for the fall this year, that's what they're going to bring to the floor.
Exactly. You know, that kind of seems to be a theme of a lot of the guys that are really getting in the portal. And, you know, as much as people might miss, you know, some of the more fast-paced offense. And
the Hoiberg
like that,
era.
If you don't, yeah, exactly. If you don't necessarily have the personnel or the tools for that quite yet, to be able to run it back with kind of a scheme and a defensive effort like the team did last year, I really like it. And, you know, guys, I was encouraged when, you know, it was kind of heard that he was here on a visit, and the fact that they landed him is actually pretty impressive. Obviously, it doesn't hurt that he was teammates with, you know, Jaren Holmes, mm-hmm. and he's going to have a big role here at Iowa State, but I think he's a major fit. I think he could be, you know, all defensive team in the Big 12, obviously one of the toughest conferences, and I think that if it is, you know, potentially an A.J. Green or somebody else that can score that is still added to the team with maybe the last spot, I do think you're looking at a potential top four or five team in the Big 12 again, you know, in terms of what they can do when you get to the postseason, because this defense is going to be long, it's going to be athletic, and it is going to be deep.
Who's going to score?
Green.
He's not on the roster.
Yeah, that's the big question right now. I like what Jaren Holmes brings. I think that Jeremiah Williams can drive. I think Kalsher is going to be a little better and more efficient. But that is the big question. Mm-hmm. With the way the roster is constructed right now, not a ton of scoring. You know, you figure with the you know, potential names right now, Jazz Kuntz might be the starting four. You obviously expect points from him, Trey King later on. So there are going to be question marks. It's going to be a lot more of a team effort. Mm-hmm. You know, not necessarily a Brockington guy, at least right now. But the defense is going to keep you in a lot of games. And, you know, people on kind of the national scales and really all over with college basketball think that this current roster is good enough to make the tournament. So if they do get an A.J. Green or somebody better that can score at all three levels, well, then you're looking at a legitimate potential Sweet 16 team again.
Which is I don't think it's far-fetched. I really don't. And if you have to win 56 to 52, so be it. Mm-hmm. And if T.J. Otzelberger is able to do that, to repeat what he did last year, coming off a two-win season in the final year of the Prom era, to take that roster to do what you could do in the limited amount of time that he did prior to or after taking over, get them to the Sweet 16. And if they can duplicate that, or even if they just make the tournament, if they don't get out of the first weekend, I think every Cyclone fan would have signed for that. But look, if they get Green, I think this totally changes everything as far as where that scoring, obviously, that's what he's coming in to do. But they got some dudes that are going to guard you. And I think that, you know, after you got your first Hilton season of Hilton Coliseum, you know that the fan base there, yep, they love the Hoiberg era. Don't get me wrong. Games in the 70s, upper 70s, into the 80s, they loved it. But they also loved to see the defensive effort last year, something that hasn't been there in a long, long time. They'll buy into this.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, what I really understood and kind of saw from the Hilton faithful, not only the love of basketball and, you know, kind of the loyalty, but they appreciate and respect the effort from these guys no matter what, whether it's 84 to 78 or, you know, 48 to 44 like we saw this season. I mean, if you're putting the effort out mm-hmm. there and you're getting victories, hard fought, the personnel can only do so much. So, yeah, I definitely am impressed, especially with some of the things that didn't go Iowa State's way in the portal this year, right, and obviously losing some of their top guys as well, you know, Brockington to the pros. I'm impressed what they've done. And I do think that if A.J. Green ends up on the roster, which obviously is not a foregone conclusion at this point, then the offseason was an absolute, you know, grand slam after losing Tyrese mm-hmm. Hunter. And a lot of credit should go to T.J. and really the whole staff for kind of putting this thing together after that.
Looking at the roster, eight guys will be in their senior year of eligibility, a very veteran roster, and now trying to put those pieces together. One of those guys, somebody that we thought maybe for a while we could see this year, didn't turn out to be the case, and that's Trey King, the transfer from Georgetown. Of course, he was with the team practicing. What can you tell us about Trey King? How does he translate, and how does he work? What'd you hear the buzz as he was going through practices here this winter?
Yeah, I heard that he really impressed, you know, in practice, not only with his game, but his energy and, you know, kind of his work ethic. If you really watched games closely, you saw he was incredibly into it on the sidelines as well. I've heard that he's, you know, really a popular guy within the team. And I think that he's going to translate pretty seamlessly. I don't think you want to, you know, necessarily get your expectations too high, but he's certainly a guy that I feel can consistently score probably low double digits, I would say, around that four position in the Big 12. And, you know, really provide that energy and some rebounding on both ends of the floor as well.
Hmm. Anything else with the basketball? Or are we just simply waiting for the A.J. Green announcement to drop?
I mean, I expected it to be a quiet weekend, you know, after this commitment, which it obviously was. And I think you just got to kind of keep your eyes on the G League camp, you know, Elite, that's actually going on today and tomorrow. And I would think that, you know, if AJ does not kind of get that NBA combine call up, that I'm pretty sure he'll be playing college basketball next season. And then you just kind of wait, I would guess, probably another week or two before things really get ironed out. If something like that doesn't happen, then I kind of expect Iowa State to maybe look for some other guys that are participating in this as well. But you guys know what I think is going to happen, as long as, you know, there aren't really any surprises in the next day or two there in Chicago.
We played around with some percentages last week. Let's play that game with you. Take the NBA, take professional basketball out of the equation. Iowa State, return to UNI or another college. If you had to put a percentage chances on each of those three choices for AJ Green, where would you go?
So no pros in the picture, correct?
Take that one off the board.
I would say 75% to 80% Iowa State.
Wow. Okay.
Maybe 10% another school.
10% UNI.
5% to 10% UNI. Okay. Yeah, that's probably what I would say on that. I think if he's playing college hoops, it's here in Ames.
Well, that would certainly be a music to the fan bases here and to the coaching staffs here. So, other than TJ, Nick, from what you gathered, who's the who's the main recruiter on this staff, or is it by committee?
Honestly, yeah, I'm not even, you know, really meaning to kind of play this diplomatic role, but truly, everyone that is kind of an assistant on this staff has really found some successes in terms of recruiting. You know, it's AJ's dad, Kyle Green. It's J.R. Blount, who has just been really a star in the Midwest. And then, you know, I expect Nate Schmidt, who's going to be kind of the new one on the bench this year, to be a good one as well. I mean, he's got some, you know, pretty good, strong, long-lasting connections. So I think not only, you know, we mentioned defense, right, with the players, if you want to play for Iowa State, you need to be able to defend. I think if you want to be a really solid, respected staff member here at ISU, you need to be able to recruit. And I haven't been, you know, here long, and I've quite honestly seen it either from commits, guys in the portal, or you guys know we cover recruiting. I talk to these guys, and, you know, these high school players have name-dropped every single one of these assistants. So I do think that really that's a strong point, you know, here at Iowa State. I think that's something that's certainly not lacking, and I think it's really something to build on. I'm really excited for these next couple basketball classes, so long as the staff can, you know, kind of stay together as well.
And to your understanding, none of these guys that have joined the program are coming with an NIL agreement in place, right? Are they're coming because they want to play for TJ Otzelberger and in the Big 12 and at Hilton Coliseum. It's not because they're getting an NIL check in advance of, you know, doing anything as a Cyclone.
Correct. I don't believe, you know, it's impossible that maybe a couple of the last two big names, maybe there was something, but I highly doubt that there was, and I certainly would not say that was factored into the reasoning much at all. I think it's TJ, I think it's this, you know, kind of resurfacing basketball culture here, and it's the fact that you can play on a major stage basically every night. And, you know, look, this improbable Sweet 16 run really didn't hurt either, guys.
Yeah, for sure.
A lot of buzz, and that always helps on the recruiting trail. Speaking of the recruiting trail, over to little football, and last week Iowa State got a commitment for next year's class, 2023, an athlete, maybe wide receiver out of Florida, Michael Parkus. What can you tell us about him? And we're getting to that time as school's winding down, people looking forward to this summer. What are some of the big dates for Iowa State as it pertains to recruiting and bringing kids in here to this summer?
Yeah, that was actually a really good pickup. His recruitment was a little bit under the radar, but he's a guy that brings a lot of speed to the field, versatile, like you mentioned. He'll fit under the athlete label right now. Pretty exciting pickup for Iowa State, though, I would say. And then, yeah, it was actually a major weekend for some interviews and trying to get these dates set, guys. So June 10th through 12th is going to be a huge recruiting weekend for Iowa State for official visits. You know, a lot of these names that we've really hit on the show, obviously J.J. Cole, who's a commit, is going to be there. Jameson Patton, you know, Kai Black, Manny Cubby, some of those top guys. And then there will be another official visit the following weekend, June 17th through the 19th. I would say maybe some of the you know, higher priorities might be that first weekend, but a lot of top targets both weekends. I mean, if you're getting an official, you're pretty highly regarded, and those are some huge weekends coming up as I'm trying to kind of catch up with these players before they come back to Iowa for those visits.
Hmm. Will you be hitting the road and catching up with the coaches' caravan at one of their stops this week at all, Nick?
Yeah, yep. I plan on going Wednesday to Sheffield. I'm going to check that out for the first time, the tailgate tour. I'm pretty excited. I've heard it's a fun thing to get to.
Well, certainly popular. It's been since 2019. They're very well attended. And look, at the coach is obviously very popular with the fan base. Nick Olson, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. Anything else, Nick, that you'd like to share? Anything you're working on this week you'd like to promote before we let you go?
Yeah, I would say we're pushing our, you know, our new segment, Nick at Night, where the readers kind of get to throw in some questions.
Yeah.
And we really go in depth with that. So that comes out every Monday or Tuesday. The podcast will be back. And yeah, I would say to just keep following this portal stuff as well. Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Nick at Night. Good stuff. Nick Olson, thank you, Nick. Talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
Always. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Nick Olson, 24/7 Sports, CycloneAlert.com. I love the defensive prowess that they have to play, be willing to play before they come here. I mean, you don't need 82, 78 every night, do you? You can get into 56, 54.
It's wins.
Right?
Because we talked about crappy basketball 2 years ago.
Oh, my God.
It was brutal.
No, we started to and then we stopped.
We still did, though. I mean,
yeah, a little. Yeah.
It's what you still have to do. Mm-hmm. Still have to talk about it and still have to watch it. And it was ugly.
Oof.
Yeah. If they're winning basketball games, 52-48, at least they're winning basketball
games.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we've seen the other side of the coin, playing ugly basketball, losing in the Licklider era.
Yeah.
That's even worse.
It's just like watching the effort, right?
Right.
Just like watching the effort. And all of those kids saying the right thing, that's what they're committed to doing. So
the roster right now.
Yep.
Kuntz, Kalsher, Jones, Grill, those four back.
Yep.
You add in Jaron Holmes, slasher, 6'4", can get to the rim.
Yep.
Osunyi.
Yep.
Big guy in the middle to go with Jones. He got a two-headed monster now at center.
Right.
Hassan Ward, I wonder how he fits the VCU kid.
I don't know.
You know, he's kind of an undersized inside guy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see on that one. Trey King, he feels like the great unknown. Because there's so many good things that you hear about him.
Well, we thought the same thing. I remember Blake, was it Hinson?
Hinson,
the kid from
yep.
Old Miss that
yep.
we thought we couldn't wait to see him.
Yep.
And they didn't put his uniform on.
Jeremiah Williams, and then the three freshmen.
And Williams is the Temple kid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Damon Lipsey.
Yeah, who you've seen.
Mm-hmm. Really like him.
Yeah, I
physical.
Know you do. Yeah.
Really strong guard. Eli Kings, athleticism.
That,
can shoot
it. Wisconsin?
Minnesota kid.
Minnesota, okay.
And Demarion Watson, kind of an under-the-radar kid that they think they really got somebody there. It's a fun mix, but it's going to be an old roster. Again, eight guys that are supposedly...
Well, we know TJ's not shy to dip into the portal and replenish that roster.
Without AJ Green, let's say it doesn't happen for one reason or another.
Then who's going to score?
This is still an NCAA tournament team at minimum.
I think they're close, yeah.
I think they're a tournament team.
Uh-huh. I mean, Kalsher, we've seen him, not enough, but we've seen him go off and get his points. Grill?
Just go to the rim. Please, Gabe.
I know. Yeah, right. Let Caleb grill.
We don't
outside.
Need you shooting 153s.
Uh-huh.
Need you shooting...
Although he did make some big ones.
70.
Mm-hmm.
Wide open, yeah, take him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't need him chucking. Because he's better
Jones
off the rim.
Jones was okay under the basket.
He had minutes.
Did some damage.
Grill, as long as he's outside of Hilton.
Right, he can shoot.
I don't get that. Still one of the most baffling
it
things.
It really is.
This team's a tournament team, minus AJ Green. With him?
Second weekend?
Preseason top 20?
Top 3 or 4 in the Big 12?
I don't think that's a stretch.
I don't either. Good for you, boy, was I ever wrong there. Woo! And I wasn't alone.
Nope, I was right there with you.
And it was more than, unbelievable. All right, if you missed it early, the keyword in the first hour is grand. Grand at KXNO.com, your chance to win $1,000. We'll come back, finish up the first hour of the week. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Action.net.
Miller and Condon, final couple of hours, final couple of minutes of the first hour of the program. Welcome back, Trent Condon, Ken Miller. Trent, we never talked about this last week. Not that it's worthy of a full segment by any means, but Rich Strike is going to pass on the Preakness.
Right.
You know what? Good for them for not being greedy and trying to go to the well once too often, actually putting what they feel is the best interests of their horse in front of their egos of, you know, going on to the second jewel of the Triple Crown. He ran his you-know-what off. He was probably, to ask him to do that 2 weeks in a row, this was a great story the first week. He would have probably finished up the track, so you give him 5 weeks off, you get him at his best, and have him take on, you know, some of the other Derby horses that will pass the Preakness in the Belmont. Good for them.
You know this is not a Triple Crown horse.
No, he wasn't.
So you're doing it in the best interest. But for the
horse.
For the interest of horse racing,
though. No, I get it.
Because the buzz...
It seldom happens. Do owners pass on the opportunity to win the second jewel.
Because it's just too important to many people.
True.
But that was life-changing. What happened in the Kentucky Derby was life-changing for that farm.
That was the proverbial lightning strike.
Right. And because of that, maybe it's a little bit easier to say no. Because...
I think...
You had just this wild circumstance.
Right,
that
if he would have been the
envision.
Favorite and the favorite won the Derby and he was expected to do so, yeah, you go on and there would. But I think I'm surprised how many people that are genuinely pissed off that he has the gall to not, you know, saddle up and do it again in 2 weeks.
I'm disappointed, but I don't have the same perspective as you.
Hour two coming up. Major League Baseball. We will start with our friend Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Scott Docterman on Iowa, the state of the program. It's Iowa in the focus today at The Athletic. Doc wrote it. He'll join us. Hour two, Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO.